All right, open your Bibles once again to Acts chapter 2. If I don't get out of this, your Bible's automatically going to open to Acts chapter 2, isn't it? You drop it and it falls to the ground, it just goes to Acts 2. Oh, there's so much here. And I want to read just the first four verses, familiar verses. And yet you'll sit here and say, oh, well, he's preached on this before. But I guarantee you, you'll hear something new tonight. So pay attention to the scripture and let's see what God has for us tonight. Look in verse 1. Very familiar verses. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from where? Heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, can I just stop here and say, God showed up? You do realize that God is just as much, or the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God is God. You do understand that. You also understand that the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is God. They're three, yet one. And so here they are in this upper room. They've been praying there for 10 days. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. From heaven. Well, we know that when Jesus ascended, he went to heaven. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We also know that he said, and if I go, I will send another comforter. And the word another has the idea of the same as. I'll send another comforter. He'll comfort you just like I have comforted you. And now here they are, and all of a sudden, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. God showed up. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, religion or God. Religion or God. So leave your Bible open here and let's pray. Our Father, how we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, what a wonderful, amazing book this is. And Lord, no matter how many times we read it, we always learn something new. Always see something that we didn't see before. And Lord, your book, your word is precious. And I pray that you will bless tonight as we open the Bible and look at its truths. And Father, may the Spirit of God guide and direct and help each one of us to get something here this evening. And Lord, how thankful we are that we have a place that's open on Sunday night, a place where we can gather and where we can sing and where we can pray and where we can enjoy our fellowship with you and with one another. And Lord, where we can enjoy fellowship around the table of the Lord. And so, Lord, as we break the bread of the Word of God tonight, fill us up with it, Lord, and give us what we need, and we'll thank you and praise you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a real confusion, as I have spoken to you in the last three Sundays, there is a real confusion in the world as to what Christianity is. The world's idea, the world's perception of Christianity is not the same perception that you and I sitting in this room have. It's not the same. There is a real world, a real confusion in the world about Christianity and the Christian church. And this confusion has been created by the great enemy of God, the devil. Satan is a master counterfeiter. You do understand that. Everything that God has given to us, the devil has come along and he has created a counterfeit for it. All of God's good and perfect gifts, the devil has come along and he has offered mankind a counterfeit to take the place of that good thing that God has given us. God sent his Son into the world to provide a way of salvation for man, and instantly the devil started working doing everything that he could in order to get men to believe anything and everything except for Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the devil sought right out of the chute to build his own counterfeit to the church of Jesus Christ. And today, there are so many counterfeits that the world sees the counterfeits as the real thing, and the real thing is seen today as a threat to society. Should I say that again? I thought that was pretty good. The devil sought right out of the chute to build his own counterfeit to the church of Jesus Christ. And today, there are so many counterfeits that the world sees the counterfeits as the real thing. And the real thing is seen as a threat to society. The counterfeit has accepted the world, and the world has accepted the counterfeit. They're almost inseparable. That's why Congress can decide that they're going to draft legislation that is designed to make it a crime for the true preachers of the Word of God to preach what the Bible says about homosexuality and lesbianism. And the lesbians and the homosexuals, they protest and the religionists of our country applaud such action, and they think that it's a wonderful thing that these people that are in direct violation to the Word of God need their rights just like everybody else. And thank God we have a president who has said he's going to veto this legislation if it comes before him. But what will happen if the next president is one of those liberal Democrats? I'm afraid it's going to get ugly. Now, last week and this morning, we looked at the great message of the church. As Luke put it in the first three verses of the first chapter of this book, it is a message of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It is a message about a person, the message of Jesus Christ. It is the message of what he is doing and what he is going to do. And after Luke told us his theme, he then told us about the commission that was given to the disciples by the Lord Jesus when he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You start here in Jerusalem, you go to Judea, then to Samaria, and then go into the uttermost parts of the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now tonight we come to the second chapter, the first few verses, and we see the origin of the Christian church. The beginning, if you will. We see their first service as we looked at this morning. We read the first sermon that was preached. And as I emphasized to you this morning, the first sermon was all about the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see what transpired. Now, just flip over real quick to the fourth chapter and look at verse 13. The world's perception of the apostles is that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Do you see that? They were unlearned and ignorant men. Tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, here are a bunch of unlearned and ignorant men. At least this was the world's perception of them. In other words, these guys were little nobodies. And yet through their witness, through their preaching, through their power, they were responsible for turning the world upside down. Now the question that I have for you tonight, and I hope to answer for you tonight, is how do you account for that? How is it that a group of fishermen and tax collectors, ignorant and unlearned men, how do we account for the fact that through their preaching and through their soul winning and through their witness, they were able to affect an entire world and turn the world upside down? Well, folks, the answer has to be that what they accomplished had nothing to do with them, but their impact was because of the action of God working in them, by them, and through them. The world was turned upside down, not because of what they did, but because of how God used them to accomplish His purpose. He told them, go preach the gospel, and that's what they did, and God blessed the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the history of the true church of Jesus Christ has been a great battle between two ideals. The false human idea inspired and designed by Satan as to what the church is, and God's ideal, the true church, which is God acting through and using people as they spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is Christianity? What is the true church, and how is it distinguished from this false church that I mentioned a moment ago? What is Christianity? What is the true church, and how is it distinguished from religion? Well, let me just point out a couple of things to you. First of all, we must remind ourselves what the church is not. We must remind ourselves what the church is not. Folks, I think that one of the reasons why so many people are outside the true church of Jesus Christ is because they have a total misconception and misunderstanding of what the true church is. I think they belong to religion because they do not comprehend, they do not understand, because they've been blinded by religion, they do not understand what the true church of Jesus Christ is all about. And you know, people only believe what they're told. Isn't that true? I mean, you really can't blame the people. They are simply believing what the religionists of today have told them. And you know that's true. Many of you sitting right here tonight, you were duped by religion for years. But you came into under the influence of the gospel. You heard the truth. You then got saved, and now you're sitting here on a Sunday night, which is just totally unheard of. I mean, you go to church on Sunday night? You're crazy people. And the world, some more than others, but the world looks at you like you go to church on Sunday night. But you see, there's something that has happened to you since you got saved and since you realized the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something has happened. And you know, I really believe that if we would just keep the message ringing out clearly, just like these people in Jerusalem, others would leave religion in the dust and would trust Christ. The burden is upon the true church to get the gospel out. So I want you to think with me for just a few moments, first of all, what the church, the true church, is not. Now listen very carefully, folks. In order to define for you what the church is, let me tell you what it's not. And first of all, what it is not dead religion. The greatest enemy of the true church of Jesus Christ has always been religion. It is religion that confuses the minds of men and women. And they would have a right to reject Christianity if it were a religion. But folks, it's not. It is not. Now there's a few perceptions. It's not a dead religion. Let me explain to you what I mean. Christianity is not a state religion. The truth is, it's not a religion at all. There are multitudes of people who see Christianity in America as the state religion. I've had people say to me over and over, well, you know, we do live in Christian America. No, you don't. You live in heathen America. This is not Christian America. You show me where America is a Christian nation. Lay this book down beside of our country and show me that America is a Christian nation. You can't do it. It's not a Christian nation. We've thrown God out a long time ago. We've thrown the Bible out a long time ago. America is a religious nation, but it's not by no means a Christian nation. We've thrown God and the Bible out of our country a long time ago. They came along and sued and said, we don't want the Bible in school, so they took the Bible out. If this was Christian America, you would think that they would have stood up and said, no, you're not taking the Bible. The Bible is the bedrock of Christianity. It's the spokesman for Christianity. It tells us what Jesus said. You can't take the Bible out of the school. We would cease to be a Christian nation. But instead, they jumped all over it and took the Bible out. They got these judges going around now saying, you cannot pray in school. You can't read the Bible or put the Ten Commandments on the wall. In our generation, we have watched as Congress and the judicial branches of our government have done all they can to get the true church and the Bible as far away from society as they can get it. We've watched that in our lifetime. Yet, religion is still accepted in our country. Religion is welcomed in our country. Now, let me show you the difference. Here's the difference. You'll see it here in just a moment. For several years after I moved here in 1995, Senator Haynes or Delegate Stocksdale would invite me to come down to Annapolis and have the opening prayer before they started spending our money. And I had no problem doing that. And I would go down every year and I would pray. A couple of years ago, Senator Haynes invited me to come down, and I got a letter from the Sergeant of Arms. And this letter informed me that when I come to pray, how I was to pray. And this letter said that I needed to be sensitive. Oh, that hurts. You don't know how that hurts. I needed to be sensitive that there were multitudes of people in that room from multitudes of faiths. And that I needed to be sensitive. And therefore, I should not use the name of Jesus Christ. And should not pray in Jesus' name. Now, folks, I want to serve notice on you. I don't know any other way to pray. Don't mention Jesus. And I find it hilarious. They want religion. The world wants religion. America wants religion. But they don't want Jesus. Do you see the difference now? And folks, by the way, these liberal preachers all over our country, when you take their position on Bible doctrine, do you know where they deny more than any other area? They deny in the area of Jesus. Liberals deny His resurrection. They deny His virgin birth. Folks, you take Jesus out of the Bible and you don't have anything. Don't mention Jesus. We want religion, sure, but we just don't want Jesus. Well, that's not what I read in this book. That's not what I read in the second chapter. We saw that this morning. Peter gets up and the very first sermon he preaches Jesus. There's another area where another misconception. People think of the Christian church today, and when they do, they think in terms of formal occasions. We get calls all the time. Is this church the Open Door? Yes, it is. Well, my fiance and I are getting married, and we were wondering, could we get married at the Church of the Open Door? And said, well, do you go to church anywhere? No. And then you continue questioning, and you find out that he's been married 3 times and divorced, and she's been married 2 times and divorced, and they wanna dance and play rock and roll music at the reception, and have a DJ and drink at the reception, but they'll say this, well, you know, we just want to get married in a good strong church so we can kick off our marriage on the right foot. And we've heard that. Someone dies, and the first thing said is, well, I want a church funeral. So we associate the Christian church in terms of formal occasions. We get calls, we would like to christen our baby. You want a what? We want to christen our baby. Well, we don't christen babies. You don't? No, we don't christen babies. Well, this is the church, isn't it? Yeah, this is the church. But we don't christen babies around here. Now listen, some of you got, well, some not probably not none of you, you're still here. But some got mad at me a few years ago when I canceled public baby dedications. You notice we don't do those anymore. Now, if you want to have a private thing with you and your family and your baby and your mom and your dad and your husband and his parents and, you know, that guy, come see one of the guys, we'll do it for you. But we're not doing these public things anymore. Now, you want to know why? We had one about 5 years ago. We announced it. And when it came time to do it, I got up. And I looked, and they were strung all down the steps and all down the front and all down by the piano. And I'm sitting here looking. I thought, who are you? And what happened was word got out. They're christening babies down at Church of the Open Door. And I look out here, and I said, well, who's that guy? Who's this woman? And I found out I was introduced to godparents after the service. And they had photographers and little certificates that they had made up, wanted me to sign them. I said, I don't sign them things. Well, somebody's got to sign this. I said, you sign it. I didn't christen your baby. I didn't guarantee salvation for your baby. And so I said, we're not doing that no more. Now, if you want to have one in Pastor Stainer's office and it's just, you know, have at it. But we're not doing those public anymore. This will never make TV, will it? Every time they try to tape, I have a spell. Folks, find that stuff for me in the Bible. Find that stuff for me. Find that stuff where this is what the church did. No, my friend, all that stuff has nothing to do with biblical New Testament Christianity. You think about it, folks. Christmas or Easter rolls around and the media sends their camera crews out to show a bunch of grown men walking around in their bathrobes, sprinkling water around, carrying palm branches, burning incense, and they talk about the faithful coming to worship 1 or 2 times a year. Where's that in the book of Acts? Chapter 30. I was going to miss you when you were gone. No, sir. When I read the book of Acts, I see a bunch of men full of the Holy Spirit, preaching and leading sinners to Christ. Instead of decorated it with silver and gold and having it hang all over them, I hear them say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." You see, folks, true Christianity is always the activity of God. And my text says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." I like it a few chapters over. Paul is on his way to Damascus and he's got death certificates in his hand. And the Bible says, "And suddenly a light shone from heaven and it blinds him and it knocks him to the ground. And the voice speaks and says, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?'" And Paul didn't know exactly who it was that was speaking to him, but he said, "Lord, who art thou?" Whoever it was, he was ready to make him Lord of his life. True Christianity is the activity of God. It is God working through saved sinners to win unsaved sinners. But there's a second thing that the church is not. Take your Bible and go over to chapter 17 for just a minute. Chapter 17. When you've got it, look up here at me. Make the point, and then we'll look at the Scripture. All right, secondly, what the church is not. First of all, it's not a dead religion. Secondly, in true Christianity, God is worshipped, not some unknown God. The known God is worshipped, not some unknown God. Look at your Bible. Verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God.'" That's the God of religion. I don't know about you folks, but I know this God of the Bible. He's not an unknown God. I know this God. The God of religion is always an unknown God. And these people at Athens had an idol and a God for everything. And just in case they missed one, they had an idol to what they called the unknown God. In other words, they did not know him, so they said he was the unknown God. That's the God of religion. Now, I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice verse 29. Look at it. Well, go back to 23. I'm sorry. Look at the last part of the verse. Paul said, "You have this idol, you have this altar, and you have an inscription on it to the unknown God." Paul says, "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship." Paul said, "Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about the God you don't know." And he starts talking about how God made the world. Everything that's in it. God doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands. Verse 25. And then in verse 29, look at it. He says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why now? Because Jesus has died on that cross, been buried, and resurrected. You have no excuse. Look at verse 30. "Because he," God, "hath appointed a day in the which he," God, "will judge the world in righteousness by that man," Jesus, "whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." There's a whole world of difference between religion and true Christianity. True Christianity focuses upon Jesus. And that's who Paul preached to them about. You'll notice, look at the next verse. It says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." Yeah, they're still mocking about that. Still mocking over that. And it is this unknown God that religion holds before the world today. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You cannot know the God of heaven until you come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Peter said it this way, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And did you ever notice that the religionists of today deny Jesus and not God? And it is true, they don't understand who God is. They see God as some absolute. They'll call Him the absolute. They'll call Him the supreme intelligence. They'll call Him the ultimate being. And they speak of the fatherhood of God and view God as some kind of father figure for all mankind. And will see the world as all worshiping the same being, just going about it in different ways. But folks, I read in my Bible, and I don't care if you start in chapter 2 and go through chapter 30. Every time they stood up to preach, they preached Jesus. You want to know God? You've got to know Jesus. He is the one way to get to the Father. But the amazing thing in Acts is that the disciples always preached Jesus as the only way. And when Peter preached his great Pentecost sermon, as we learned this morning, he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he told the people to believe in Jesus. Go back to the 8th chapter for just a minute. Go back to the 8th chapter. Here's old Philip. Verse 30, it says in Philip, I'm not going to read the whole story, it's a long, long chapter. Verse 30, we jump in right towards the end of it, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this." It's Isaiah 53, by the way. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. I rest my case. Preached unto him Jesus. Folks, God is not some abstract, vague, unknown, can't ever know supreme entity that floats around in the spirit of the universe and shows up in trees and rocks and all this business. He is revealed in this book, and this book tells us we can know Him, and it tells us how we can know Him, and there's no other way than the way designed and described in this book, and anything else is dead religion. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, "You turn to God from idols to serve the true and living God." And I'm here tonight to tell you that Christianity is not a dead religion. Now, the second thing I want you to see tonight, and it's not near as long as the first. You'll notice I didn't even take my watch off tonight, because you're going to get out on time, way on time. I'm almost done. Here's what Christianity is. It's the worship of a living God. Here are these men and women in the upper room, and boom, God shows up. the Lord shows up. There came a sound from heaven. The living God came upon the scene. I like the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God. I like the third verse in the Bible. You know what the third verse says? And God said. I like that. I don't have to get up here and fabricate my own religion. I've got a book here that tells me everything God wants me to know. It's called the Bible. It's called the Bible. The living Bible. The living God came upon the scene and He gave us His living Word. And folks, the church of Jesus Christ must start with a living, active God. And that's what we read in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, God showed up. Man, I want that every time we gather here. I want the Lord to speak to hearts every time we gather here. I want God to take His book and touch the hearts of little boys and girls when they hear it preached. Moms and dads when they hear it preached. Look at the 11th verse of this second chapter. The Cretes and Arabians said, we do hear them speak in our tongues. What are they speaking? The wonderful works of God. Folks, that's what the church is all about. I used to rant and rave when we lived out in Illinois. There was a church on the corner. When you came to the stoplight to turn to go to our church, there was a big old church there, and they had this sign out front. And the sign was huge. It was a huge sign plastered right on the side of the building. And in big letters, I mean those letters were this big, it said, Bingo! And then right underneath it, little itty-bitty tiny letters that you had to be at the stoplight to see. If you were going past them, even 5 miles an hour, too small to read. But if you stopped at the stoplight, you look over and see what they said. And they announced the service times. The church is not about bingo. The church is about Jesus Christ, advancing the cause of Christ, getting people saved, preaching the Word of God. And these Jews from all over the world gathered at Jerusalem, and they said, we do hear them speak in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. And folks, this is the whole message of the Bible and of the true church of Jesus Christ. Those disciples were not out here in the streets of Jerusalem protesting against Roman tyranny. They weren't out there carrying signs that said, down with Caesar. They weren't out there protesting for women's rights or racial equality or anything else. They weren't out there fighting, holding up signs and walking around protesting the war in Iraq. They weren't out there protesting gas prices. No, the message of the church is to a world of men and women who are fumbling around at noonday in the darkness of sin. And that message says, come to Jesus, believe in Him, and He will save your soul. And He will help you to understand all this stuff you don't understand. He'll take your life and make it whole. He'll set your feet on the solid rock. He'll give you a new heart. And put some praise in your mouth, even praise to the Lord. And folks, I'm saying that there's a world of difference between religion and true Bible Christianity. Christianity says God is still in business. God is still saving sinners that will come to Him. Christianity says, it's my job to tell sinners about Jesus of Nazareth and how He died and how He was buried and how he rose again. Christianity says, it's my job to hold up the Bible, declare it truth, proclaim it as God's message to a lost and dying world. And folks, I don't care if it gets to the point where the Church of the Open Door is the only church in Carroll County that sings hymns and the only church that gives an invitation. I don't care if we're the only church that uses the King James Bible. I don't care if we're the only church that believes in soul winning. I don't care if we're the only church that believes in running buses and trying to get boys and girls saved. I don't care if we're the only church left in Carroll County that believes in heaven and hell and right and wrong. I don't care if we're the only church that still preaches and believes that Jesus is the only way. So be it, we'll just be the only one. But that's New Testament Christianity. And as long as God gives me breath and allows me to stay here and y'all don't run me off, this is where we're staying. This is the course that we're trotting. I just want to say it again. I'll die before I let rock and roll music come in here. And I mean that. I'll die before I let these new age watered down perversions of the Bible come into our Sunday school or youth department or master's clubs or dynamite club or Carroll Christian schools. I'll die before I cancel the soul winning programs or cancel the bus routes. I'll die before I quit preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How about you, dear friend? You want religion or you want Christ? You see the difference? And what's so sad is that we are bombarded. We're bombarded in the media. You know, some of y'all start to think you're nuts. You've been hearing them tell you, you're nuts. You're starting to believe it, aren't you? Huh? Folks, you're not nuts. You just read a book and you believe it. And I'm here tonight to tell you that if others would just read the book, they believe it too. But you see, the devil came along many, many years ago. As soon as Jesus said, I will, the devil said, I will too. I will build my church. The devil said, not a problem. I'll counter that. And I'm just wondering how many people are sitting in their living rooms tonight. And if somebody just came this week and knocked on their door and started a conversation and then would just look at them and say, well, sir, let me ask you a question. If something were to happen to you and God were to take your life, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? I just wonder how many of those people would trust Christ and get saved and walk out of their old dead religion and start serving the true and living God. I dare say a lot would. They did in Jerusalem. They did in Jerusalem. Hey, folks, they were a whole lot more religious in Jerusalem than what folks are here in Carroll County today. They turned and walked away from it when they heard the truth. And by the way, so did most of you. You remember when you were religious? You remember when you went to church and you sat there and you went through all the ritual and all the routine and all the movement and all the action and all the giving and all the talk? Remember when you went through all that stuff? Amen. You got up and you walked away. You thought, wonder what good that did. And one day somebody told you about Jesus. And when they told you about Jesus, you said, don't need that. I'm going to go with Jesus. Oh, it was culture shock for you first time you came here. You certainly weren't expecting this, were you? But something was said that stuck in your heart, and you came back. And then something else was said that stuck in your heart. You know, that's called truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, what do you want, religion or Christ? I'm going to take Jesus. I hope you do too. Let's pray.